We're going to have communion this morning. We're not going to rush through it just to get a message out, even though we've all prepared for that. But we just sense that God wants to remind us again of who He is and what He's done in you and why we partake of communion. You know, we can't look at communion as some religious thing that we do on Sundays. That's not why Jesus came and gave of Himself and why He reminds us to partake of communion. He said that we need to do this in remembrance of Him, which means that there are times that we forget. We forget who we are, we forget who God is, and we start to allow our circumstances and our emotions and our mind to lead us in a direction where we forget what God has done, who He is inside of you, and why we partake of communion. Dee and I partake of communion often, because Jesus said, do this often as you remember me. So it's not something that we do just because it's a religious thing. We do it because it produces life. Jesus wouldn't ask us to partake of something if it didn't produce life for you. So we're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm reading out the Passion Translation from verse 23. It says, I've handed down to you what came to me by direct revelation from the Lord Himself. This is Paul speaking. The same night in which he was handed over, he took bread and he gave thanks. So one of the first keys that Jesus gives us is the way that I can experience God's presence is through thanksgiving. It's when I begin to thank Him. When I begin to thank Him for who He is. So in a practical application of that, it's I come to God and it's like, thank you, Father, that I can call you Father. Now, that's a big deal because many people with a religious mindset is I come to God and I just say, thank you, God, because God is distant or God is angry or God is hard of hearing. So I first come with a place of thanksgiving. Thank you, Father, that you are close. You're as close as my next breath. Thank you that I can call you Abba. Thank you that I am your son, your daughter, I'm your child. Thank you that you never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you that you have called yourself Emmanuel, the God who is with me. So I start to connect to God. I start to connect to His presence through thanksgiving. It goes on, then he distributed it to the disciples and said, take it and eat your fill. It is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me. So he's talking about his body. He's talking about when I partake of this wafer, I'm remembering what happened to his body. So if you think of what happened as he endured the cross, what happened to his body? He was whipped. He was beaten. He was accused. He had a crown of thorns placed upon his head. He had nails put into his hands and into his feet. He had a spear that was pushed into his side. Now, why did he do that? Why did Jesus go through the pain of what he went through to be crucified on a cross? And the reason why he did this was because justice needed to be satisfied. God's holiness needed to be satisfied. And because sin came in the body of a man, sin needed to be paid for in the body of a man. And so God came as a human being in His Son, Jesus Christ. And He was born sinless, without sin, not like you and I under the first Adam. He was born by God Himself. So that he could be a representative of the kingdom of God, but he was a representative of all of mankind. Yes. So Jesus came to pay the payment that you and I could never pay for. He came to pay the debt that you and I could never ever pay. Yes. He came to show you your value. He came to show you the expression of God's heart toward you, that He loves you apart from anything that you could ever do for Him. So He says, when you partake of the body, what you are doing is you are partaking of God Himself. You are partaking of the life of God. You are partaking of the price that God paid. And the Bible says you are doing it to remember Him. So you're not doing this to remember what you can do for God. See, and this is so important because when I come to God based on works righteousness or what I think I need to do for God to do something for me. So it's like, I need to do this for God to answer this prayer. That is called dead works. There is nothing that you can do to get God to do something because God did it all in His Son 2,000 years ago. So what I'm doing when I partake of communion is I'm reminding myself of what Christ did for me. So healing is already yours. Prosperity is already yours. Life is already yours. Peace is already yours. I don't need to do something to get it. That's why Jesus came. He came to make the way open, not just into the throne room, but into the very heart of God. He came to say, I'm making the way open. I'm going to be the door. I'm going to be the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to be the one who gets you to the heart of God, not your works or your effort. So we partake of communion, the bread, by saying, when I eat of this, what I'm doing is I'm reminding myself of the work that Jesus did for me. So just like Adam ate something and it produced death, guilt, shame, condemnation, and accusation, now when I partake of communion, I'm reminding myself I'm a son of God. I'm reminding myself I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. I'm reminding myself that I exchange weakness for strength. I exchange lack for completeness. I'm exchanging works, dead works, and man's righteousness for the righteousness of God. So I'm exchanging strength when I partake of communion. Do this to remember me. Verse 25, he did the same with a cup of wine after supper and said, this cup seals the new covenant with my blood. Drink it, and whenever you drink this, do it to remember me. Now the same thing, in the Old Testament it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So from the beginning of time, from the first sin that took place, sacrifice happened and blood was shed. And Jesus came, and the Bible says he emptied himself. He emptied himself of all of his blood so that there could be forgiveness of sins. And in Hebrews it says, because of one sacrifice, he has perfected everybody for all time. He has sanctified you forever because of his blood. The Bible says, because of his blood, he has saved us from the wrath of God. Because of his blood, the Bible says we have peace with God. Because of the blood, the Bible says it has been sprinkled on the mercy seat and it will speak forever. For all of eternity, we will see the blood of Jesus on the throne room of God, on the mercy seat, so that God can treat you better than you deserve. Mercy, that's what it means. God's bowels, the emotion of God being expressed through acts of kindness, treating man better than he deserves. So the blood of Jesus is an expression of God's mercy. But because holiness needed to be satisfied, Jesus came and gave himself so that holiness could be satisfied. So I never ever have to perform for God anymore. So he's saying, when I partake of the blood, I'm reminding myself of what Jesus did in him giving of himself. I'm reminding myself I've been made righteous. I'm reminding myself I stand before God completely guiltless, faultless. He cannot find fault with me. He's not looking at me to find fault. Because the Bible says he does not deal with me according to my sins and my transgressions. So I'm standing before him recognizing the blood of Jesus has cleansed me. So let me put it this way. Sunlight soap is what does the job to clean dishes. My wife can't come to me and say, wash the dishes, and she comes home an hour later and the dishes are still in the sink dirty. And she says, why don't you wash the dishes? I say, no, just look at it through the sunlight soap and you'll see they're clean. Now I have to apply it for it to wash. And that's how many people view, they think, well, God just looks at you through the blood of Jesus. No, His blood of Jesus, the Bible says, has cleansed you. He's sanctified you for all time. So now I stand before him without a consciousness of sins. And that's why we forget. So that's why I partake of communion, so I can do this reminding myself that the stain of the world, the culture and the way that the world operates is no longer a part of me, because I'm part of a new world, a new kingdom, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm doing communion to remind myself of what Christ did. See, so often I went to church and it was like, do not take communion if you've got sin in your life. I'm like, okay, I'm disqualified. The Bible says, if you even think something, you've sinned. Jesus raised the standard. The law said, if you do something, you've sinned. Jesus said, if you think it in your heart, you've sinned. And if any man says he has no sin, he's a liar. Which means that nobody then should partake of communion ever. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, do this in remembrance of me, not of you. Not of whether you've sinned or not. Sin will kill you. Amen? So we don't sin. But it's reminding myself of what Jesus has done. Drink it, and whenever you drink this, do it to remember me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story, proclaiming our Lord's death until he comes. For this reason, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in the wrong spirit will be guilty of dishonoring the body and the blood of the Lord. What is the wrong spirit? The wrong spirit is self-righteousness. It's a religious spirit. That's what a wrong spirit is, Lord, I'm going to show you I can do this. I'm going to show you I'm worthy. I'm going to show you I can. Or the opposite is, I'm not worthy because look what I've done. That's the wrong spirit. And the Bible says when I do it that way, I'm dishonoring the body. I'm dishonoring what Jesus did because I'm looking at what I've done. So let each individual first evaluate his own attitude and only then eat the bread and drink the cup. Am I evaluating my own attitude? Am I coming to God with humility or am I coming to him with pride? Am I coming to God based on what I can do, or am I humbling myself and coming to God based on what you've done for me, Jesus? That's what he's saying. For continually eating and drinking with a wrong spirit will bring judgment upon yourself by not recognizing the body. You begin to judge yourself. It's the wrong spirit. Because what does that produce? Pride? Hello? Or performance? So what happens is I begin to judge myself and then I begin to judge you. Well, I'm better than them. I haven't done this. Remember the Pharisee? Thank God I'm not like her. I've done this. I've fasted. I've prayed. I've put money in the collection. I've done. Shame. Look at this guy. Hello? No one here. This insensitivity is why many of you are weak, chronically ill, and some even dying. Why? Because it destroys your confidence. Because you think you qualified to access the promises of God based on your works. And that's why we miss it. Because our own works produce condemnation and guilt, accusation. And Jesus came to set us free from that. Set us free from ourselves, because we died in him. And we've been raised in new life. So I can't get my identity out of those things. I get my identity out of the one who lives in me. Verse 31, if you do not sit in judgment of others, you will avoid judgment yourself. But when we are judged, it is the Lord's training so that we will not be condemned along with the world. The word judged there is talking about making a decision. Like a judge sits in his judge's seat and he makes a decision based on the evidence. And God has made a judgment, not guilty. Not guilty because of the Son. It says, so then, my fellow believers, when you assemble as one to share a meal, show respect for one another and wait for all to be served.
The more I seek you, the more I find you. Find you, the more I love you. sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. Seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
Jesus, we're so grateful for your broken body. And Lord, we surrender our fears, our hopes, our dreams, our disappointments. We surrender them at the cross this morning. And we cast our eyes onto you, Jesus. We thank you for your broken body. Lord, we thank you for the crown of thorns, the lashes on your back, the scars in your hand and the scars in your side. We thank you for going to the cross and for dying for us, Lord. And this morning we exchange strength, Lord. We let go of our anxieties and our worries about tomorrow. And Jesus, we humble ourselves before you. We surrender our lives before you, Jesus. And Lord, as we partake of this, Lord, we thank you for the very life of God to flow through our minds, our emotions, our bodies, Lord. We give you permission to be yourself, Lord. And so as we partake, Lord, we thank you that we can exchange our weakness for your strength. We can exchange sickness for healing. We can exchange our lack for your abundance right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We do this with thanksgiving. Jesus, we thank you that you emptied yourself completely. That your blood was shed, that we know that we are forgiven. We know that you are at peace with us. We know that your blood still speaks. That because of your blood, we've been made righteous, that we are one with you, that as Christ is, so are we. We thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We thank you, Lord, that we can do all things through Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we are a part of a kingdom that will never be shaken. We thank you that we stand before you, holy, blameless, without reproach, Lord. We thank you that we stand before you acquitted, forgiven, innocent, Lord. And we are so grateful, Lord. We are so grateful that you did it for us, that you hung on that cross after giving it all, and you said, "It is finished." That the work has been done, Lord, and that we have access into your presence, into your heart, into your wisdom, into your life, Lord, that we have access to. And so we partake, Lord, of your blood, Lord, knowing that we have been sealed in this new covenant, in Jesus' name. I want to ask this morning, if you have sickness in your body, if you've got pain in your body, won't you just slip up your hand right now? If you've been struggling with something, just keep your hand nice and high. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've made the way open, Lord, that the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom where there is no sickness or pain. And so, Lord, we thank you as a community of believers that we can stand together under your lordship, your ruling, and your reign. And Lord, we thank you for your name, which is the name above every sickness, above every pain. And so we speak the name of Jesus into bodies right now. We command every infirmity to leave right now. We command pain to leave right now. We command burdens, those things that are weighing down on people. We cast all of these things out in the name of Jesus. And we say, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Pain, go. And Lord, we just thank you so much for your healing presence, Lord, to flow through bodies and minds right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Father, we're so grateful this morning. We're so grateful that you gave yourself, that you gave your Son, that you've never ever held back, Lord, that you do not hold back, that your word says that if you gave us your Son, how will you not with him freely give us all things? Thank you, Lord, that you so freely give. We're so grateful this morning, Lord, that you're a generous, extravagant, loving God, and that we can know you and know your voice, Lord, that we are called sons and daughters, Lord. And because we are sons and daughters, we know that we are led by you. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy, which follows us all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are highly favored and deeply loved of God.